My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
So let's talk about what happened in the fifth inning yesterday. Oh, by the way, I know there's a lot of in the chat about dooming and glooming.
Right, it happens.
Keep in mind, that's not a game to doom about. If the Padres take a 3-0 lead into the ninth inning of every game, they're winning the World Series, no problem.
I agree,
That's not the kind of game you worry
3-0
about.
3-0 in the ninth, I like our chances most days.
Yeah, if truly Robert Suarez is struggling, they have plenty of other options that they can go to. Yesterday wasn't the day for it. At some point they might, but they're well covered. They've got depth. They've got a bullpen filled with great arms. So there's really no reason to worry about it. It's simply a lost opportunity. Now, what Woods pointed out in our last segment is that where you really lost the game is if you just added a couple of runs, you could have left some of your high leverage bullpen arms in the pen to rest. You would have had a bigger cushion. There really wouldn't have been much cause for the Tigers to even, mount that comeback. If you just got into 5 or 6, the game is probably over. But after the quick 3 runs, they just couldn't do anything else against Casey Mize. And one opportunity where they had to really add on was in the fifth inning when Elias Diaz, who got his first start behind the plate, looked pretty good. Hit the ball hard. He got the one hit, and it was to lead off the fifth, a stinging double down the left field line. So the number 9 hitter is coming up, Mason McCoy. Advanced scouts know he's going to bunt in that situation. Almost certainly get the runner over to third for Luis Arraez. Try to get that fourth run on the board. And he's been really good at getting those bunts down. But the first bunt attempt kind of fouls it right down at his feet. And it rolls out in front of the plate. And then he kicks it. And the umpire rules him out. That's what you saw at the game.
That's
correct?
What I saw, yeah.
But when you're watching on television, on replay, it showed that he actually kicked the ball in the box, and then the second time he kicked it, he was out of the box. But he had already touched it. It was a dead ball. Should have been a foul ball.
Dead ball because he touched his foot in the box.
Still up, and he would have had another chance to get the bunt down, whatever. Strike one. Maybe a different inning because Arraez follows with a deep fly that would have been more than enough to sacrifice fly a runner home from third.
And I know all the rules now because everybody's buddy Mike Winters was there the entire time
to break
it all down.
Yeah,
all right,
so as he said, that play is not reviewable.
Diaz leadoff double. Then there was the bunt out.
Yes.
Yeah, there was the
warning track fly by Arraez to right field for the second out.
And Diaz did not tag He was
from second to third.
Yeah,
but then Tatis made it out, so
it didn't end up mattering. But it was one of those little things I noticed, and I went, "Oh yeah, you got to be a third there." I know he's not fleet of foot, but you can get that tag
from that deep, probably.
But he's got to be halfway at least, because if it goes over his head again, he's not
score.
He's got to score from second.
Yeah.
He just got caught in no man's land a little bit, just a little thing that I'm sure Schulte noticed and will clean up. But the bunt attempt that didn't work, it crushes you. You're fine to sacrifice an out there, Ben, if you actually get the guy over.
Yeah.
Giving up an out, I guess you want to do that with Mason McCoy.
Hard to criticize when it was just a foul ball and the umpire made a mistake.
And you can't review it.
You did give the umpire a chance to make a mistake, and he did, and it ended up probably costing you a run that inning.
Yeah.
Not for sure. I mean, we don't know that he would have gotten the bunt down, but given a second opportunity, it's a good chance he would have gotten it down. Padres could have put together even a bigger inning, but that was just one of those little missed opportunities, little quirks of the game that, if they win 3-0, you never think about again in your life.
Yeah, for real.
But when you give up a grand slam in the ninth inning and you lose 4-3, you start going back and going, oh, that would have been a nice run to have back in the fifth inning.
Yeah, and I don't want to say it's indicative of the Padres' offense. Look, man, offense in baseball is a weird thing, and we have a good one. Don't get it twisted. We've got a good offense, and they have the ability to score and beat you in a bunch of different ways. The kill shot sometimes that the Arizona Diamondbacks employ, when it's like, oh, we've got Casey Mize on the ropes. We're scoring 7 off of this guy. And I thought, listen, not like the guys weren't trying to get knocks. They absolutely were. They weren't giving up ABs. Just didn't work out. Don't change much. I mean, you really don't have to change a thing. You want to definitely give guys rest, like Robert Suarez. Give them a little breather. Get them back out on the mound ASAP. We'll give it our 16 minutes of sulk, and we'll get back to it today. Beauty of baseball.
Need a contestant for Take on Woods, 833-288-0973. If you want to call in, try to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, 833-288-0973. A little music trivia against Woodsy. Now, there were some positives in that game. We haven't mentioned Martin Perez. What a great start by Perez.
Phenomenal.
After in the roundtable yesterday, we pretty much said he's probably not even making the playoff roster. And that may still be true, but what an important lift he gave the Padres. A guy that we didn't even really give any credit to, like, oh, who's this guy that AJ is just picking up for nothing from the Pittsburgh Pirates? I mean, they don't want to keep him. Obviously, he can't be any good, or they'd want to keep him around. This is actually the first time the Padres have lost a game that he started. Ironically, it was his best start by far going into the seventh and shutout baseball, and he was not happy about having to leave that game.
I loved it, man. I loved every second of it.
He did put the tying run at the plate,
yep.
And they decided, let's go with the higher leverage. But he was very effective, and you go back in time with the power of hindsight, maybe you just do leave Martin Perez in for another inning or so. He was only at 80 pitches or so.
Yeah, like 80, it was 86
was
pitches.
Was he up to 86
like
at that
yeah.
point?
No problem.
I was not surprised that he came out of that game, but outstanding performance. And what I also was happy to see is that two of the guys who have not really been part of the offensive attack that much of late started hitting again. Jurickson with his 22nd home run, an absolute
tank,
missile.
I had the view, the perfect view
and,
down the line.
And Xander Bogaerts is putting together some good at-bats.
Three for four.
Yep. The home run, line drives in the ninth inning, gave him a chance, gave Jackson Merrill a chance to win. It didn't happen, but good at-bats from Xander Bogaerts. You talk about how long that lineup gets. If those guys are going, Jake Cronenworth had a double. He leads the team in doubles, and he has, 17 homers? I mean, Jake may not be an offensive superstar, but you lead the San Diego Padres in doubles, and you have 17 home runs.
Yeah, man.
You've had a pretty good season.
No doubt.
And,
baseball player. Plays multiple positions.
And then we know about the rest. Manny and Arraez and Jackson, what he's done.
I thought there in the ninth, Xander gets on, Jackson Merrill comes up again. I go, there's no way this kid does it again. And he put a good swing on it, just didn't,
Yeah, that lefty was the same guy who was the opener in the first game, gave the Padres a lot of trouble as well. He started the series, he finished the series, and he was good. And that's a tough at-bat for a lefty, a rookie or otherwise, against that left-handed pitcher. And, Jackson stayed with it, had some good swing, got just under a little bit, but another good at-bat for Jackson Merrill. They're not all going to go over the fence
yep.
in the ninth inning.
Yep.
All right, so we got some contestants here. Yes, we do. It is time for the Friday edition of Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods. Take
on Woods. Take on Woods.
All right, let's go with Joe. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday, Friday.
Happy Friday, Friday. What are you up to today, Joe?
Getting ready for work.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. We are playing to try to qualify for the two-night stay at the Wynn or Encore Las Vegas and two tickets to the Awakening show. Thrilling spectacle at the Wynn. Tickets are on sale now at Awakening.com. All right, here are your categories to play from. We've got Asian Nation, song titles with the single word ending in Asian. Little Shop of Horrors, musical artists or song titles beginning with the word little. And a new category, At the Car Wash. Those are songs with types of cars in the title. So Asian Nation, Little Shop of Horrors, or At the Car Wash, Joe?
Asian Nation.
All right. That one's been sitting there for a little over a week, but here we go. We have song titles that all feature a single word ending in Asian. A-T-I-O. 60 seconds. Try to answer as many as the five as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it. We will compare your score to Woods. If you beat or tie, we'll put you into the drawing for the trip to Las Vegas. It's that simple. First question's our two-second song. Paulie's queuing it up right now. You need to give me that title that ends in Asian and the artist to score the point. Joe, you ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do this. 60 seconds on the clock. The category again, Asian Nation. Joe, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods. That is correct. A 1983 hit by the Human League said to keep feeling what?
Pass.
A new what has got a hold on you in a 1987 hit from the Australian band INXS.
New sensation.
Correct. An anthem for youthful rebellion. Pete Townsend wrote about My What in a 1965 classic by The Who.
My Generation.
Correct. Jeff Beck plays the guitar for which 1984 single by Rod Stewart that reached the top 10 in the Billboard charts.
Infatuation.
Correct. Back to 1983's hit by The Human League said to keep feeling what?
Fascination.
Oh, there he goes. Oh. Well done, Joe. You are qualified for the trip to Las Vegas because Woods can't do better than five. And if tie goes to the listener. So now we just find out whether it's a straight, outright win. Stay on the line, Joe. We'll come back to you in a minute. All right, Joe's score is locked in.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
Good.
What are you up to out there?
I'm just chilling.
Just chilling?
Yeah.
Okay. Getting your mind right?
Getting my head
for
right.
The game?
Yeah.
All right. Bring your A game today.
Okay.
No category for Woods. Makes it a little tougher. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Joe.
Pass.
A 1983 hit by The Human League said to keep feeling what?
Oh. Keep feeling something. Pass.
A new what?
Fascination.
Correct. A new what has got a hold on you in a 1987 hit from Australian band INXS.
A sensation.
Correct. An anthem for youthful rebellion. Pete Townsend wrote about My What?
Generation.
Correct. Jeff Beck plays the guitar for which 1984 single by Rod Stewart that reached the top 10 on the Billboard charts.
Ooh. Something Sation. Asian. Asian.
You also have the two-second song.
Give me the
still.
Two-second again.
Yep.
Taint Nation.
No.
No.
Jeff Beck, guitar, 1984, Rod Stewart.
This one's going to kill me. I'm out.
You're already lost. Because
I did?
Joe got five out of five today.
Joe. Congratulations, buddy.
Say hi to Woods, Joe.
Vacation.
You just beat him. Vacation by the Go-Go's.
Go-Go's.
And the tough one at the end, Infatuation by Rod Stewart.
Nice
you
work.
You want to rub it in, Joe?
Yeah, Joe, you can rub it in. It's fine.
No, it's fine.
All right, it's good. All right. Good luck. Look, on the drawing for Las Vegas.
My velocity was good. I threw a good pitch.
Command was a little off.
You
figured out the category.
Yes. We can't win every
which was good.
I'm not going to win every day. It's going to happen. I'm going to blow saves from time to time.
Do we need to think, Paul, about a different contestant for Take on Woods?
It's the first loss of the week.
Adam, is it time to go to John again down the hall?
Maybe.
He usually gets the job done. I mean, in the eighth inning when Woods isn't here.
Just flip-flop our roles?
Maybe just flip-flop your roles.
I'll go down there. I'll do stagecoach announcement. I'll talk about Jelly Roll headlining stagecoach.
It's still important. Well, it's just not the prime spot right at the end.
Paulie, I don't know if you have the stagecoach announcement in the Rindle Report, but I'm asking you in advance.
I did not know it was even a thing.
It was announced yesterday. I would like to go through it line by line, okay? Because it's very... very fascinating to me.
Fascination.
Yes.
So Don't Do This is coming up next. And I have... we've seen bad injuries happen on the field. We've seen them happen off the field. This one, definitely one of the worst that I've seen. Not in terms of gruesomeness, just in terms of unfortunateness.
You didn't even see it?
Nope.
Just terrible.
It's bad, though.
This is a terrible, terrible injury.
It's bad. That's coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
What are some of the weird injuries you remember from athletes that didn't take place while they played their sport?
Like putting on his pants at home.
Wade Boggs broke his rib putting on his cowboy boot. Like fell over and he hit the arm of the couch.
Jeff Kent washing his truck.
But it wasn't washing his truck, was he? It was.
Was he like a motorcycle, and
he said he was washing his truck and slipped.
That's right, he said he did.
Glenn Allen Hill was a weird one. He had arachnophobia, and he got up like in the middle. If I'm not, I don't want to blow this, but he like got up in the middle of the night because he was scared of spiders and hurt himself. There's some weird ones.
I'm going to start. Don't do this today with what seems like a fairly normal injury. A pitcher throws a pitch, they come up lame. It's sad, but it happens often. You know, the Tommy John surgery, it's just tragic when you see it, but it's just a reality of life. Unfortunately, this is not that. This was Washington Spirit midfielder Croy Bethune from the NWSL and the U.S. national team, who was tapped to throw out the first pitch for the Washington Nationals against the New York Yankees on August 28th, following her gold medal success at the Paris Games. Looked like it went off without a hitch. She threw it out, got the applause from the crowd, congratulations. But apparently, we've now found out, at some point during that heave, she tweaked her knee and suffered a season-ending torn meniscus. Like 10 games left, playoffs coming up, and she is out for the year on one ceremonial first pitch gone wrong.
That she's, you know, you think about soccer players, absolutely elite athletes. Their skills, the way that they run, the way that they move, the cuts that they have to make, the starts and the stops. She goes out and throws one pitch and hurts her knee.
Yeah, according to Spirit coach Jonathan Giraldez, she had a problem making the first pitch in the baseball game. She is not going to be available this season.
Oh.
It is part of life. You have to keep going.
Oh, my God.
I don't think he's all that happy about it. It's not something strenuous. It wouldn't be like you would write in a contract. You're not allowed to throw out a ceremonial first pitch.
Especially as a soccer player, you don't really, you know, you're not using your hands, your arms, really. I mean,
she could tear her UCL. She'd still be able to play soccer.
I think so. That's a tough. It's one of those freak injuries.
Oh, I remember this one when I was doing the pre and post game show. Thank you for the reminder, JH619. Adam Eaton was trying to open, you know, those DVDs, and they came in the hard cases,
and he
tried to jam a knife in there, stabbed himself and landed on the injured list.
Where did he stab himself? In the hand? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I got the Glenn Allen Hill story.
Yeah, tell me the Glenn Allen Hill. Was I close?
Yeah, he went on the disabled list in 1990 after falling through a glass table, resulting in cuts and bruises to his feet, knees, and elbows. Why did he fall through a glass table? He had just woken up from a nightmare about spiders chasing him, and he was very afraid of spiders.
I knew it.
So he woke up in this confused state and fell through a glass coffee table.
I mean, there's a billion of them in baseball. They always have these weird injuries.
George Brett doing laundry at home.
Milton Bradley tackled by his own manager.
Yes.
Bud Black.
Ripped his ACL or something. Yeah.
George Brett was at home doing laundry. In the other room, he had the Cubs game on TV. Brett heard the announcer say Bill Buckner, his good friend, was coming to the plate. He didn't want to miss the at-bat, so while running to the TV room, he smashed his foot on the door jamb and broke his small pinky toe.
Oh, my God.
Had to go on the DL.
That is incredible.
Jack's wondering, how do you hurt your knee throwing a first pitch? I mean, it's on a mound, so I guess you're stepping down and you just, like, drop
hyperextended
awkwardly, I guess,
or something maybe?
Like
oh, man.
I mean, tearing the meniscus, though, is pretty serious
that
for
is.
Just one step.
That is. Poor thing. That sucks, dude. Last night, you know, obviously there was a crazy, crazy ending to the NFL game. Apparently, I was in traffic driving home from the excruciating Padres loss. But I did see this morning the toe on the edge of the line. But the don't do this goes to Baltimore Ravens tight end Isaiah Likely, who the cameras were on Isaiah last night. One of the Chiefs fans leaned down into the tunnel after the game. He had a really, really nice game. said, I guess the fan said, you stink. And he said, F you, bitch. And they got it on video. He looked up. He got very, very creased by this fan and said, F you, bitch. He had 9 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown. But he was pretty hot after the loss.
And he was 1/2 inch away from tying or winning the game. They were going to go for 2.
Oh, yeah.
At the end. Can I bonus Lamar Jackson on this? Because he still said after the game he didn't think officials should have overturned it. And I don't know why. We all saw the replay. Yes, it was very close. Yes, you don't know. I mean, is the toe all the way down or is the foot on the line? We have to live, though. If you're going to play the game and you're going to have out-of-bounds lines and anything touching the line is out, his toe was clearly on top of that line.
Yeah.
Does it suck for the Ravens?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yes.
You were an inch away, like an inch.
But you can't make any other call if you're the official. You can't imagine, well, maybe the toe's not really there. It's an optical illusion. No, that's just how you have to call it. When you see it come down on the line on replay, it's out of bounds. And, yeah, the game's over, and it's really a tough way to lose at the end. But you lost, Lamar. His toe is on the line. There's really no ambiguity about it. And you can't really complain that the officials made a mistake in overturning that call. It's not ambiguous. It's on the line.
Well, I mean, that game comes down to the last play. They march down. Amazing plays to get to there.
Paulie's happy. He has Xavier Worthy on his fantasy
team. Oh, do you?
Where did you...
Oh, he's on my bench.
He was on your bench, but you got him on the team. I went quickly to the waiver wire going, ooh, rookie, got to steal this guy. No, Paulie already had him.
I'm still in a position to dominate this weekend.
Okay.
Projected.
I'm beating Sammy Levitt right now, as it were, but not by a lot.
I didn't have any players, so I'm losing to Jake Garignani from Channel 8, but I'm still projected to win.
Okay, I am too. But as we know, projections often don't mean anything.
That is true.
Much like run differential.
All right, finally, a little doo-doo this on a Friday.
DD mega doo-doo.
I just think this story has a lot of good elements that I enjoy. You know, men's tennis in the United States has not been great since what? The Pete Sampras days? When was the last time?
Agassi, Sampras.
Yeah, I mean, way back in the day. The last U.S. man to make a Grand Slam final. Andy Roddick in 2009. 15 years.
Any Grand Slam, not the U.S. Open.
Not just the U.S. Open. Any of the 4 Grand Slam finals. Obviously, it's been unrelenting. 15 years.
Good God.
Now, obviously, it's been Federer. It's been Djokovic. Nadal. It's been Nadal. You know, they've pretty much locked everybody else out. But that streak will end today because the semifinal at the U.S. Open is 2 U.S. men.
Nice.
And they happen to be best friends as well. Oh. And one of them happens to be from Torrey Pines High School. Taylor Fritz, the 12th seed, taking on Francis Tiafoe, the 20th seed, with the winner becoming the first U.S. man to advance to a goal since Andy Roddick in 2009.
Congratulations. That is a huge deal.
That is a big, big deal.
And you're pulling, I'm assuming, for Taylor Fritz.
I am pulling for Taylor Fritz as the fellow Torrey Pines Falcon. I like Tiafoe a lot, though. They both seem to be like really good guys.
And they're buddies.
And they're good buddies, and they get to play each other at Arthur Ashe Stadium in front of all those tennis fans for a spot in their country's national championship.
What time is that airing, Benjamin?
That is...
Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of my head, but my guess would be around 5 o'clock tonight.
Probably be bowling.
Let's see. When
I'd like to... If it was on in the afternoon, I would watch that. I like that.
The first pitch, as it were...
They call it a first pitch?
No, they don't. Oh. Is...
The first serve?
How do I... Oh, that's women's. That's why. I gotta switch to men's.
Yeah, switch
4 o'clock.
We'll wait.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. ESPN. 4 o'clock.
Let's go, Taylor Fritz.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
The other semifinal, Yannick Sinner, who is the number one seed, the guy who got popped for steroids, but they said, don't worry about it.
Great
fine.
Name.
He is
Sinner.
He's not a saint, that's
Yannick
for sure.
Sinner.
Woo! Going against Draper in the final. Yeah, Jack Draper, who is British, actually, so... But we'll see how that's earlier today at noon.
Cheers, bro.
All right, we'll come back. Let's go back. If you want to take some calls on the game yesterday,
I want to hear if you're dooming hard this morning. It's fine, man. This is what we're here for. Call in.
If you want to talk about the bullpen and You know, Robert Suarez, before we talk to Mike Shildt later, this is the chance.
Fire
Call
away.
Us, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Back with more Ben and Woods Padres Talk next on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Paulie, can you call up the FanGraphs website and see what the Padres playoff odds are today? They climbed up close to 97%, I think, at their maximum. And they were probably
16% right now today after last night's game. 16%.
They were probably one pitch away from
getting relegation.
And yeah. I was really thinking, because of the loss by the Diamondbacks and the Braves, they were probably one pitch away from climbing over the magic 97.3 mark that we've been waiting
for.
Yeah,
we want them to hit 97.3.
But I don't think they did because of what happened in the ninth inning yesterday.
Yeah, Padres dropped all the way down to 95.2%.
95.2, okay. Yeah, man, you saw like...
We're getting into the Jazz Station territory, really low on the dial now.
88.1.
Public radio.
Public radio. Yeah, you don't want to get down there, bro.
KCR, college radio at San Diego State.
Very low on the dial.
Did you see... The Orioles got swept by the Reds. The Rockies last night beat the Braves. I mean,
Austin Gomber apparently is not only good against the Padres, he shut down the Braves.
I mean, yeah, it was one of those nights. But again, you know, you're a human being. You look at
Diamondbacks let Patrick Bailey beat them. It
yeah.
does happen.
Even
to the good team.
It just where I was sitting at the game, it's a direct line to that scoreboard. The direct. And so I just stared at it all night. And I was like, yes.
Literally, scoreboard watching. Not figuratively, literally, you were scoreboard
watching.
I
couldn't look away because it was right there. So anytime I watched a play on the field, I'm like, 3-2, Diamondbacks lose. So it's just sticking in my craw a little bit. You didn't take the jump on an extra game. But again, you didn't really lose anything either. So I don't like
lost half a game. The Mets are now 3 back.
3, yeah.
And they have a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Braves are also 3 back. They don't have the tiebreaker on the Padres. It's certainly not over.
It ain't over, man. These games are important.
95% feels good.
It does.
That's 19 out of 20 times. If they played the season out, FanGraphs would expect the Padres to make the playoffs 19 out of 20 times. Not 20 out of 20. 19's pretty good. All right, see, we got some callers on the line. We are going to talk Padres baseball, take some of your thoughts on Robert Suarez and yesterday's game right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Sounds like Kelly's in the torture chamber this morning. Padres fans in the torture chamber. It's supposed to be Friday. It's supposed to be fun. A good day.
Yeah. We're all right. It's going
to
be all right.
All right, let's go out to the phones.
Still won the series.
833-288-0973. Christopher is in Escondido. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning, guys.
Hey,
how are you doing today?
Doing good, man.
First off, Benny wanted to say prayers to your family for what you're going through today. And for those of us that listen every day, whether you guys want us or not, you're part of our family and fabric. So when you guys are happy, we're happy for you. And when you struggle, we all struggle with you. So
Chris, that's very nice. I appreciate it. And if you missed it, it's our pet Reggie, our dog. This is his last day. Taking him across the Rainbow Bridge later. I like that. Paulie, I didn't know that expression until Paulie shared it.
You really like that expression.
Yeah, it's a good one now.
Rainbow Bridge.
It's a good euphemism where you don't have to say, you know, we're putting him down.
Right.
That doesn't sound good. Or
murdering
go
him.
Go ahead, Chris. That's not what I meant. But go ahead. Yeah.
That's okay. I mentioned it in the chat earlier. You guys talked about it on your roundtable yesterday. Baseball just has a funny way of humbling you just when you think everything's going perfectly. And I think last night was the perfect example of that. I do think, and of course, with my infinite wisdom of baseball coaching and the professional level, it does look, last night was, to me, I wasn't really surprised because it seemed like the last few outings, Bobby Bullitt has kind of struggled a little bit.
Yep.
And of course, Mike's going to be the one that makes the final decision, but it just looks like maybe, I know he's over his innings limit, or not limit, but his career high, maybe a few days off for him, like kind of reset for down the stretch here might be. And I'm also curious when Mike comes on, if you guys got, just the way he works the bullpen, does he have those guys on a pitch count when they come in, the relievers, or is it just, does he just go by feel, or it just seems like, they come in, of course, most of them are kind of 1-2-3 and out for the most part. But I'm just curious, as much as he uses some of those relievers, if he actually has them on a pitch count when they come in so that they're ready for two or three days in a row, or how that works in his mind.
Yeah, and I think it's probably feel, and he talks all the time. Thanks so much for the call and the kind words. They talk all the time about communication. And I'll say this. For all we heard about Bob Melvin was that he was a master communicator. Master, right? From everybody we talked to, we did our due diligence on Bob when he got hired. Every person, man, woman, child, said, Bob Melvin is the greatest communicator in baseball. We didn't really see it, right? He was fine to us when we communicated to him. I do get the sense that there is a lot of touching going on. And I mean touching every day, Mike Schilt touching his players and saying, you good? How are you? I need to know. You know what I mean? I get the sense that they do that a lot.
Show us on the diagram where
he
touched.
No, that's not what I mean. Why are you always so perverted? I'm trying to be serious here. I think there's a lot of touching going on about, you know, where are you really? You know, and again, your eyes are going to tell you. And Robert Suarez, yeah, man, he scuffled a little bit lately.
Christopher made a couple of points. He said, could a spell off help Robert Suarez?
Maybe.
I don't know if that is true or not. Again,
it seems
the velocity
logical.
Is fine, but any player might benefit from some time off.
Sure.
We talked in the roundtable yesterday about whether there's a spot for Sean Reynolds back on this team, at least for the playoffs, maybe in place of Martin Perez. And obviously, Perez was great yesterday, but do you need another starter, a fifth starter in the postseason? Reynolds has been really good, throwing really hard. Now, I'm not saying Sean Reynolds should be your closer
right away.
This is not the time to take an untested commodity and put him in really high leverage spots, but you do have plenty of arms right now.
You've got Tanner Scott, who has closed games before.
Jason Adams has closed games before.
So
Estrada has a couple of saves this year.
Yeah, and again, good problem to have. I don't know about the psychology. When things are going as well as they have for the San Diego Padres, Ben, would it concern you at all because so much of a baseball player, especially a pitcher and really a closer, it's confidence. It's confidence. You can go out there with not your best stuff, and if you're confident, you feel like you can get three outs, whether it's three weak ground balls or a strikeout and a pop out, and whatever. You feel like, I'm the man. I can get this done. To be demoted to a different role in early September, is that the smartest thing to do? It's a results-based business. If the results aren't there, you have to do it. We asked Brett Boone about what his brother is going through in New York with Clay Holmes, who has blown not four saves, 11 saves.
And they are making a somewhat of a change.
Yeah, well, he said, we're going to get creative in the ninth, right? So Clay Holmes.
Is that what you want, though, right now?
That's the thing. That's really what I'm trying to ask you.
That's an act of desperation, not decisive action.
Is that what we want here as Padre fans? Do we want Mike Schilt to get more creative in the ninth inning? It's hard, man. 31 saves. I know the numbers are down lately. Do you trust?
I personally don't. I stick with what's been working.
I'm kind of with you. But again, if the matchup that's coming up in the eighth and ninth, you can look in the seventh inning and go, All right, this guy's better suited here.
Is that an ego, a confidence problem? You have two closers. One is left-handed, one is right-handed.
Yeah.
Now, it was a lefty that beat Suarez last night. Now, I don't know that you're planning around their number nine hitter.
Correct.
Who's batting, coming up sixth in the inning.
Right.
We should have Tanner Scott out there because
that
Parker Meadows might come up with the bases loaded in the ninth inning. We want him to dodge Robert Suarez. It's kind of hard to plan sometimes. But, hey, if there's an obvious situation, it's the eighth inning and there's three righties coming up, and then in the ninth, if he gets them out, there'll be three lefties.
You might
want to switch it around in a situation like that. Most lineups are fairly balanced between righties and lefties, though.
Do you guys out there that are so mad, and again, I was mad. I hated it. I hated that for sure last night. Do you guys want to hear the term closer by committee right now?
No.
I really don't. And it doesn't mean you're going to throw him out there and let him blow six saves in a row. But closer by committee feels like the kiss of death for me a lot. And listen, that very well may be the case when the clock strikes October and you're in the playoffs. It may be closer by committee. all men, you know, all hands on deck. But as we get through the rest of the regular season with a 3-game cushion, which isn't a ton, I'm kind of okay with what's going on.
I do think that baseball is always a game of adjustments, and hitters have adjusted to Robert Suarez in that they do. They're attacking him a little bit earlier, just trying to get bat on ball a lot of times and, you know, use that velocity against him. Does Robert Suarez need to make an adjustment, at least, in terms of his pitch mix and how he's attacking hitters? Maybe. Maybe, because you always have to make adjustments.
Yeah, for sure. They adjust on you.
Yeah, so you have to adjust back. And the pendulum swings in baseball. Now it's Suarez's turn to adjust. Let's continue with the phones. Let's go to Brandon. You are next up here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good, bud.
Hey, you know, watching that game last night, I said to myself, really, you're going to run Suarez out there again? You know, that Paris did such a fantastic job. Most of these starters go about 5 innings, maybe 6. What's the matter with having Paris come out in the 6th inning and finish the game?
He was out in the seventh. He came all the way into the seventh.
He got the tying run up, you know, tying run up to the plate. I had no problem with the pull of Martin Perez. Now, you say you're watching the game last night. Now, again, he had thrown 19 pitches on Wednesday. They had an off day on Tuesday, and he had thrown 8 pitches on Monday. So 8 off 19. 27 pitches in 3 days.
And he closed out Sunday.
And he closed out Sunday.
So it's 4 out of 5.
For sure. With a day off in between, certainly. Again, 3-run lead. It's your closer. I really don't have a problem with it if he says, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. What were the other alternatives at that point? Was it Estrada, perhaps, who had also thrown 17 pitches the night before? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Hoeing is rested, but he's not closer necessarily type material. I think ultimately, if Robert Suarez just gives up a single and a home run, you win that game.
Yeah.
What wasn't
the walks?
What wasn't okay? What isn't Mike Schilt ball? And I'm sure Mike Schilt was the most upset about is walking 2 batters.
Oh yeah, that kills you, man.
That's what killed him.
Walks kill.
Big league batters are going to make contact. They're going to barrel it up. When you throw at 102. Sometimes it'll go over the fence. There's nothing Robert Suarez will ever be able to do about that. He will give up some home runs when they actually do make contact. It'll be rare. What he can control, though, is not walking guys. And that was on Suarez, and I guarantee you Schilt was not happy about that. Won't say that. He did in his postgame comments. The command got a little
shaky,
and even acknowledge that. It's like one of the biggest criticisms I've ever heard of one of his own players. Yeah. Command got a little off.
A little shaky. Yep.
In the 9th inning for Robert Suarez. He does not like walks. That is giving the other team things. He does not believe in giving the other team anything. He believes in taking and not giving. He's not good at Christmas. He only likes to take and not give at all. That's his philosophy as manager, and the Padres gave in the 9th inning. And they gave, and they lost. They don't like to do that very often. Let's get one more in here. We've got David. David, welcome to 97.3 The Fan.
Hello?
Hey, are you David?
Yeah, no, my name's Vance.
Vance, that's what I thought.
That's close.
I misspelled it. That's fine.
All right, so, you know, this is just recently, but I feel like Suarez is just really iffy. And it, obviously his command isn't there. But, you know, why don't we go to a Sean Reynolds or Alec Jacob? Do you guys remember that guy? I know his stuff is, his velocity isn't as high, but, you know, why aren't we going to other options?
He's not a closer. Alec Jacob's not a closer. Now, Sean Reynolds also is not yet a closer. He very well may be the closer of the future. For the San Diego Padres, he's also not on the team currently, so that would have been not possible to bring him in last night. Sean Reynolds is down.
I think the biggest criticism of Mike Schilt would have been over panicking by not using his guys. If he loses that game with, you know, Alec Jacob or Brian Hoeing or Estrada, then we're probably legitimately upset today.
Yeah.
Like, was Robert Suarez not available?
No, he said he could go. He said he could go.
Was it a save situation?
Yeah. But yeah. We just want to give him a little blow.
Yeah, we just decided not to use him tonight.
I mean,
you can have a crystal ball. It's easy. It's easy after the fact.
And I'm not trying to crap on this guy's point, but Alec Jacob is not a closer type
He's deception and, you know, breaking balls.
I mean, listen, Trevor Hoffman did it with deception for many, many, many years. But Trevor Hoffman, guess what?
He had a pretty good fastball, too.
He did, but he also blew a lot of saves. They all do, every single one of them. So, again, I'm not super panicked right now.
It's not the closer entrance either. I know people say, cancel the closer entrance. No.
It was, hey, I'll say this. I saw it live for the first time. It was badass. Now, you look like an idiot, or you feel like an idiot for being so excited about it when you lose that game. But
Trevor Blue saves after Hell's Bells. It happens.
I'm bummed for him, you know, certainly. And maybe a rest is worthy, certainly.
So this is pretty incredible. We didn't think we'd have Jake Mintz from Sesame's Family Barbecue because it's his birthday and he's getting married tomorrow, but he wanted to come on anyway, which I think is really cool. He loves baseball that much. Our next guest on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.